This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, known as ICE, conducted raids across North Carolina last week. Agents detained several dozen people from the Triangle and took about a dozen people from western North Carolina into custody. Many of the arrests in the western part of the state happened Saturday morning. Within hours, immigration advocate groups organized a rally. Hundreds of people gathered in downtown Asheville to protest the actions of ICE. Sam DeGrave joins us now. He is a breaking news reporter with the Asheville Citizen-Times and covered the raids and the rally in Asheville. Welcome, Sam.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about the raids in western North Carolina. How many people were taken up, do you know?
Well, we started getting reports of them through social media, through primarily Hispanic Facebook and Twitter pages, and over the course of the weekend, I think about 15 people were picked up. The groups that first reported these raids and have continued to report on them since have reported that there have been arrests here into this morning, but I haven't confirmed that yet with ICE.
Tell me about the rally in downtown on Saturday.
The rally, within a couple hours of everything, all these reports circulating on social media, organizers were able to put together a rally of a little more than 200 people who gathered at the federal complex in downtown Asheville. The general sentiment was anti-ICE and pro-community. It was about not only saying that we're not okay with these raids. Not they're not okay with these raids, but that they also want to show support for the communities who have been impacted.
Any other ways? I mean, obviously, this is a pretty big event, and as you say, it was organized within hours. But any other ways that you can see community reaction, one way or the other, that were manifest in other ways beyond the protest?
Yeah. So one of the things that's been interesting about covering this and watching it all unfold is that there's really been a group of people who have taken reporting into their own hands. We've got community reporters who, through, as I mentioned, using social media, are reporting on ICE activity throughout this part of the state. They're reporting anytime they see ICE agents or people who they believe to be ICE agents. They're posting pictures, videos, telling people where they are. When people are getting arrested or their families are getting arrested, they're posting and sharing this here. It's really become a sounding board for people who are concerned about what's happening. And for a lot of the immigrant population who activists say are afraid to come out of their house right now because of these raids, these community reporters have been a big influence.
Community reporters and influence, and still Spanish language newspapers are still an influence across the state.
Yes.
I want to bring Bernice Malagón into the conversation now. Bernice Malagón is a reporter for La Conexión USA. It's a statewide Spanish language newspaper. Bernice, welcome to the program.
Hi, Frank. Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us about the ICE raids here in the Triangle. What do you know about them?
Well, I've been talking with local pro-immigrants organizations, and they confirmed so far there are 10 arrests between Orange County, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsborough. There are also 3 in Siler City, 1 in Wilmington, and there are also 2 confirmed arrests in Durham. Plus this, 15 ICE detention in Nashville, so the final number in just 1 week is 30 detentions.
What's the reaction around the community? What are you hearing?
People is afraid. People is not anymore trust the authorities. I mean, people is scared. They don't want to go outside with their families. They don't want to take out the children's. They don't want to go to the parks. They are afraid that they are not going to come back to their homes. Children's are also suffering stress. They said like they don't want to go to the school because they don't know if they are going to come back to their homes and see their parents. Yeah. You know,
we've also heard that this has been a problem for local law enforcement. We understand that ICE did not coordinate this or even inform local law enforcement about these raids in advance. But beyond that, local law enforcement says that I've heard reports, and I want to ask you about this. You talked about fear of the authorities. So when there are crimes committed in neighborhoods, maybe with a large Latino population, people are not willing to cooperate, and this makes law enforcement, local law enforcement, much more difficult for local authorities. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. People is afraid, so they don't want to denounce. In fact, most of them, they don't want to report crimes, to report domestic violence. They don't want to talk to the police because they are afraid. They are afraid of them.
Let's talk about the political implications of this, too. And I want to go back to you, Sam DeGrave in Asheville, because there was a sheriff candidate forum for the election in Buncombe County just after this. Talk about how the candidates reacted to the raids.
Well, Frank, there were six candidates who participated in this forum yesterday. There are a total of seven running for the Buncombe County Sheriff seat here. And the Buncombe County Sheriff's Office is the largest law enforcement agency in western North Carolina. So of the six who were there, there were five Democrats and one Libertarian, and four of the Democrats said that they will not enter any kind of 287G agreement with ICE.
What is that?
It's an agreement that allows ICE director or the director of ICE the director of ICE can enter these agreements with local law enforcement agents that allow local law enforcement to help conduct immigration operations. And so these four Democrats have said no go under any circumstances. The one Democrat and the Libertarian said they might be willing to work with ICE if they're picking up known bad actors or people with criminal records who are a danger to their communities. But one of the candidates actually brought up the fact that that the fear of deportation really can stifle reporting of crimes in these communities, and made that a point during his short answer to the question yesterday.
Well, I want to bring Brian Cox into the conversation right now. He is Southern Region spokesman for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Brian Cox, welcome to the State of Things.
Hey, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about these raids. Why do they happen in North Carolina?
Well, sure. You know, I think it's important to understand that as a federal law enforcement agency, ICE quite literally makes arrests every day. And so it's true. ICE made arrests across North Carolina yesterday, just as we do on a daily basis. And so, you know, some days people have questions, some don't. But for context, it's important for people to understand that we have ICE personnel throughout the Carolinas. They're there on a daily basis, and we're enforcing law on a daily basis.
There's a lot we understand that, you know, obviously the number of people who are in this country without documentation far outnumbers the enforcement. How do you target? How do you make a choice? Who do you pick up?
That's a great question, and that is an important point for people to understand. Certainly, there's a lot of misunderstanding and, as some of the other individuals said, perhaps fear. So it's important for people to understand that rumors of any kind of random or indiscriminate enforcement are quite simply not true. So for anyone listening, it's important to understand what ICE does and does not do. So let me be very clear. ICE only conducts targeted enforcement. And what I mean by that is quite literally, when ICE officers go out for the day to make arrests, they have in hand a list of targets. They are going to specific locations looking for specific individuals. And to put that in context as well, rather than individuals, take my word for it, let me just give you some basic numbers. For the entirety of the 2017 fiscal year, 92% of all persons arrested by ICE either had a criminal conviction, a pending criminal charge, or were already subject to a deportation order that had been issued by a federal immigration judge. So again, for the entirety of 2017, more than 90% had a criminal conviction, a criminal arrest, or already had been to court, had had their due process, and had been ordered removed from the United States by a federal judge.
Let me just interrupt you there, because those are national figures, and when we looked at the numbers here in North Carolina, it was more like 67%. And the other thing is that the trend over the last year, since February, for instance, so after Donald Trump took control of the White House and became president, what we noticed in using your own numbers, and we just crunched them now, a big jump in the number of people without criminal records who had been picked up. based on your own statistics. So there's been a change since February in the number of people picked up without any criminal wrongdoing in their background, based on your numbers. I wonder what accounts for that.
Well, you're correct that 67% of individuals arrested in the Atlanta field office last year had criminal convictions. So the 92% includes criminal as well as removal orders. And so the bottom line, if you look at that, yes, more than two-thirds of individuals arrested by ICE last year had a criminal conviction. The number over and above that would be individuals with criminal arrests or what's called a final order of removal issued by a federal immigration judge. So the bottom line is you're exactly correct. Given the limited resources that ICE has, we make prioritization decisions. And so if you are in the country unlawfully, you are subject to arrest and potential removal from the United States. That is federal law. If individuals disagree with that, they are certainly welcome to do so. That's obviously a hot-button issue that we as a country are having that conversation about right now. But from ICE's perspective, as a federal law enforcement agency, ICE is tasked with enforcing federal law. And given the limited resources that the agency has, it's important for individuals to understand that the targeted arrests that the agency does are focused first and foremost upon individuals who pose the greatest threat to public safety. I want to make one quick...
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back. I want you to make that point. I know there are some questions that we have for you as well. So we're going to take a break right now, and then we're going to come back. I'll let you make that point, and we'll ask more questions. Talking about ICE raids in the Triangle in Western North Carolina, my guest Sam DeGray from the Asheville Citizen-Times, Bernice Malagon from La Conexión USA, and ICE spokesman Brian Cox. And our conversation will continue on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us. This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio, continuing our conversation about ICE raids across North Carolina over the past weekend. Agents detained several dozen people from the Triangle, about a dozen from Buncombe and Henderson counties in western North Carolina. I'm joined by reporter Sam DeGray from the Asheville Citizen-Times and reporter Bernice Malagon from La Conexión USA. Brian Cox is also with us, a spokesman for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Before the break, we were talking about targeted enforcement and how that works at ICE, Brian, and you wanted to make a comment just before the break.
Sure. So as we were saying, one of the things that is discussed is individuals with reluctance to contact local law enforcement to report crimes. And so I want to be very clear about this for individuals as well, that local law enforcement does not enforce federal immigration law. That's the purview of ICE. And so any individual out there who is the victim of a crime should have absolutely no reluctance to call and report a crime.
Brian, forgive me for interrupting, but there are local law enforcement agencies that do cooperate and that will detain a suspect and allow you to talk to them if they suspect they're here illegally. So
That's not correct. That's not correct. That the way that works is that it is correct that if a person is arrested themselves on a criminal offense, then subject to a criminal arrest, then that person could be issued what's called a detainer, and ICE could seek them into custody. But obviously, being arrested for a criminal offense is a fundamentally different circumstance. So unless an individual has done something that would warrant their criminal arrest, they should have absolutely no reluctance to report a crime. Simply interacting with your local law enforcement in no way would subject you to any type of involvement with ICE. And so it is correct that if individuals are arrested, if they have committed a criminal offense that results in their arrest and booking into a local prison or local jail, then that could result in contact with ICE. But if they are not arrested, individuals should have absolutely no reluctance to report a crime. It is correct if individuals are arrested.
We get the okay. So I see the distinction. I have to say, it would be a fine point if I were here and living in those conditions. But I make your point. I take your point. You've made the distinction. Bernice, you had a question.
Yes, Mr. Cox, you already said that these ICE detentions are not random. But I have many examples that these detentions are random. In fact, yesterday I interviewed Maria Guilford, is a college student, and she told me her stepfather was arrested by ICE while he was taking out the trash from his house in Chapel Hill. Apparently, the ICE officers were in their neighborhood looking for somebody else, but they saw Enrique Vilches Jimenez, so they asked him for documents, and since he's undocumented, they took him away. Now, Vilches is in a detention center in Georgia. And I have a lot of examples like this. It looks like ICE is just knocking doors in the neighborhoods and is asking for IDs, for documents. And some people is undocumented and they are taking away.
Brian?
Okay, yeah, great question. So as I said previously, we only do targeted enforcement. And what that means in a nutshell is, as I said, when we go out for the day, we literally are going to specific locations looking for specific persons.
Yeah, but...
That being said, it is true. If we go to location X, pick the location. If we go to location X looking for a person on the target list, and while at that location we encounter other unlawfully present foreign nationals, it is true that ICE will not turn a blind eye. So if we go to a location looking for a person on a target list and we happen to encounter other individuals who are in the country unlawfully, ICE is not going to turn a blind eye. We may take those individuals into custody as well. But the suggestion of any kind of random indiscriminate arrests, if we go to a particular location and encounter individuals, we may take them into custody. But the suggestion that is made of things such as vehicle checkpoints or randomly going door to door, things of the sort, that is not at all what ICE does. So it is true, if we go to a location looking for a particular person and encounter other individuals who are in the country unlawfully, they may also be taken into custody. But that's fundamentally different than any type of a random indiscriminate enforcement.
Why the uptick? Again, we saw the change in statistics, the number of people with no criminal charges against them, a huge uptick in terms of the percentage of those people brought in starting in February. As you say, it's targeted. You're doing your job. There are people here illegally. But it does seem to me that with the same number of personnel and the same number of undocumented people, we should see roughly the same kinds of percentages. We saw a big increase starting in February here in North Carolina. What accounts for that? Was there a change in policy, a change in target? What happened?
Well, as an executive branch agency, you're correct. ICE is an executive branch agency, follows the priorities that are set by the Department of Homeland Security, you know, from the president. And so obviously we're all aware of the national issues that have taken place as far as that goes. And it's true, arrests are up this year versus last year. But that headline that makes a lot of news leaves out fundamentally important context, that arrests in 2017 are below where they were as recently as 2014, and remain below where they were as recently as 2013-2014. So we saw a decline in 2015 and 16. They've rebounded within the past year. As a federal law enforcement agency, ICE follows the directives issued by the Department of Homeland Security, ultimately issued by the administration. The bottom line is that we enforce federal law.
Brian, let me ask you, I've got one more question for you. The issue of sanctuary has come up here in North Carolina. Quite a few churches now, and churches are now gathering to decide whether they're going to become sanctuary churches. More and more are signing on. What is ICE's position with regard to churches and sanctuary for those seeking sanctuary in the churches? Are you going to go into churches?
So ICE has a policy of what is called sensitive locations, and that includes places such as churches, hospitals, schools, and ICE does not conduct in general enforcement in those locations. So individuals who would go to those locations in general, absent exigent circumstances or some type of special prior approval out of ICE headquarters in general, ICE does not conduct enforcement at those designated sanctuary locations. That being said, it's important to understand that final orders of removal, deportation orders issued by federal immigration judges do not expire. So individuals, you're correct, there are several cases across North Carolina of individuals who have entered churches in an attempt to avoid their removal from the United States. At whatever point those individuals would leave that location, those removal orders would remain in force. So it's correct that ICE in general does not conduct enforcement at sensitive locations, churches, hospitals, schools, but the deportation orders for individuals who have them, those would remain in force at whatever point those individuals would leave those locations.
Brian, thank you so much. Deeply appreciate you talking with us. Brian Cox.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Brian Cox is a spokesman from U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. I was also speaking with Sam DeGray from the Asheville Citizen-Times and Bernice Malagon from La Conexión USA. Thank both of you for talking with us as well.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Frank.